Is it recording now? to those countries where our children are mostly and we are working on a proposal, and we are hoping to also get outside sponsors in that regard, so that it's possible everyone able to attend to that situation. But we have also realized that because the substance abuse bill is one of the immediate legislative tasks that we are anticipating, we should have faced ourselves with how other countries dealing with this country are addressing. So to this end, we approach CARP, which is an association that promotes prevention of abuse of alcohol and tobacco, to also support us in our plan for so we ask the research unit to identify countries which are not in Europe, because the inter-country adoption shows that is in Europe, the countries which have the greatest chance and which have come out of Singapore. And the research unit has given us Uruguay and Brazil as a proposed. We can discuss this data after our main agenda item today, because I think that the research and the committee secretary might have more to talk about. But I think without any waste of seven time, let me ask you about
amongst you, because I think it's going to be a tough year. We have quite a lot of tough work, and there's a lot of expectation from our constituents, which we say, and I think we can and we must be able to fulfill what we promised. And I think I can say it's a delight for me, and I think for the department, for one of the first things that we do even before we even went to Parliament, to come and touch base with your people and with the committee to see how we can be able to fulfill what is expected of us. And I think I want to say very clearly, it's been a pleasure for me to be associated with the work of this committee. And I'm grateful, first of all, for the support that I have received from the committee and the cooperation. And I think it is worthwhile, before I can say anything, but to express that gratitude for the cooperation, the working together between ourselves, that is the executive and the portfolio committee. And especially to look at the demands that have been set on our policy. First of all, by the Polokwane Conference, and more importantly, President's State of the Nation address last Friday. we take it for granted, I think all of us did understand the way in which the whole issue of poverty in our society was raised, especially towards the end of last year in the Polokwane and in the Makotas of the ANC, how poverty affects our society, how different households and individuals are being affected by that poverty. And out of that, the following priorities have been made as imperative for this committee and for the Department of Social Development. The first thing, that a comprehensive social security net has to be provided for and targeted as an impeccable approach in eradicating poverty and unemployment among our people. We must establish a mandatory retirement fund and ensure that that retirement provision cover low-income groups. We need to prioritize the welfare of children in this regard and develop services that seek to deal with child poverty. The department must strengthen collaboration with the Department of Education and other departments involved in the provisions of early childhood development. The child support grant should be gradually and phased, in a phased way, be extended up to the age of 18. The pensionable age would be measures have to be taken so that the pensionable age should be re-looked into and reviewed. And we unfortunately and very fortunately and very strongly that a coordinated national drug campaign must be intensified to combat substance abuse. The department identified 7 strategic themes to drive policy and program intervention in line with the 8 priorities discussed during the State of the Nation address. Each team will have a number of focus areas. The themes and related projects are, firstly, tackling child poverty. Under this theme, the focus will be on the following projects: implementation of the Integrated Early Childhood Development Plan, implementation of the Children's Amendment Act, the gradual and phased extension of the child support grant up to the age of 18, the development of other measures to reduce child poverty, especially for those children over the age of 14. This will be done in partnership with other government departments. On this issue, I think I would like to stress, first of all, the media seems to be very much fascinated with the question of extension of the pension for older men than it is for children. And I think that emphasis should be here. We should concentrate first. We maintain in government the children first. And that should be, we must make sure that that money that we are giving out here should ensure that that age of 14 should be increased as fast as possible, even if it is on a phased basis. And I would definitely advise that if we can't make it this year to 16, at least to 15 we should move. Then 16 in general. Because I'm saying that simply because I know the effect such phasing in has on children. We did the same thing from 6 to 7. Yeah. And then we drew 6, 7 to 9. those children that did not get it, and we stopped for a long time until we had to fight again, 9 to 11, 11 to 14. It had an effect basically on the children that didn't get it on a certain year after they had been getting it for some time. And I would really not advise that we should leave children at that rate and fight with these men. We should start with the children more than that. Secondly, the ECD is something that we really need to look into. Our research in the department has proved beyond any reasonable doubt that there is a tendency basically within our community to not to register children for identity and presence. We only register them when they are 3 or 4, which is a little bit too late in general, because if they do not get the right nutrition at the right time at birth, then basically we are not doing them a favor at all. So what our program should be, and I think the first thing that the committee should do, while we will talk it with the Department of Health, I think it might be wisdom at the time the committee to collaborate with the Department of Health, with the portfolio committee of health, to ensure that children are registered at the hospital where they are born, and ensure that Home Affairs provide those facilities before the mother even leaves the hospital, so that child should be able to get his or her grant in the first year, in the first month of his and her birth. That would help. And I think if we do that, we'll be able to track the children, whether they are living or dying, at what time and why. When we do that, we know the numbers that are born through Home Affairs, and we're able to do it. And we provide them with the necessary assistance and give them the grant that they ought to be having. So the issue of child poverty is a very big thing. We have been working with SASA on that. And I would love the department, I mean the committee, if it could go to this area, especially the former Bantu Center, and see the effects basically of poverty on our people, especially on children. It is not nice to see these things only in the newspapers, specifically on TV, when they are being done by the United Nations or some others. We ought to be able ourselves, as South Africans, members of parliament, to point these things out before even foreigners are able to. They should hear that from us. And then they go and testify for it. And I think that has helped a lot in them to understand the problem that South Africa has in China. The other issue that I think I wanted to is the question of the implementation of the Children's Amendment Act. I think we should do that to ensure that the necessary infrastructure and means are there to ensure that act is a reality. And it is this portfolio for me, basically, which has to monitor that what we are saying as a department is happening. It does happen, and to help us where it is possible. Yeah, I was talking about the development of the other measures to reduce child poverty, especially for those who are over 18, over 14, this will be done in partnership with other government departments. In other words, what we are saying, it is not enough giving the children a grant. There has to be some ways in which they are supported, they receive the necessary advice, and that other departments provide the necessary services. Questions of health, ensuring that there is inoculation, ensuring that each and every child who gets a grant also goes to an early childhood center. And of course, when we talk about that, it means that we should ensure that those centers are there and they get the necessary resources from government and from the private sector to ensure that those NGOs are able to work. Because most of the time the enthusiasm is there, but the question that is not there is money and how it is used. We shouldn't tolerate the question that money is sent back to the treasury when we know very, very clearly it could have been used much better by our own citizens and fellows, so that they should not only depend, I'm not saying they should depend on what they get from the international community. And of course, the integrated early childhood plan is implementation. I think the department will talk onto that, but I'm sure that the portfolio committee will assist in ensuring that all these that I put here really become a reality. The second issue is the social cohesion. And under this theme, the focus will be on the following: to introduce the prevention and treatment of substance abuse, especially through the deal, and to tackle the growing drug problem in our country. Implementation of a campaign to combat substance abuse and social crime prevention. Well, knowing coming from the Western Cape and coming from my constituency, I think there's a big problem here in the Western Cape. And I think it affects each and every province. And I think we should try to ensure that that bill moves through Parliament as well. Substance abuse and alcohol abuse in general are big, big social problems in South Africa. I know it is, I'm told it is hip to be done amongst our young people. And I think we should discourage that. When I grew up, the church did not take kindly to drunk people. But I think we tend to be tolerating that now. In our schools and everything that has happened. Youth development, the focus will be to ensure implementation of a program to engage young people to be part of now of a new active citizen. This involves the development of a framework to implement the Masupa Sela Youth Program, Pioneer Program, and empowering and integration of youth into the mainstream of society, into, amongst others, the scaling of the National Youth Service Program. This is quite something that is very important. I think most of us know that since 1990, our schools have been churning out such a big number of young people who, on African terms, are quite educated, insofar as at least they do have a matric. It might not be the right standard, but I mean, they have gone so far. And they are unable to get jobs. And hence you see the increasing crime within our society. And I think with this program, we would like to work very, very closely with our young people so that we should be able to guide them. We have this Masupa Sela Youth Pioneer Program, which means we will try to work with young children, both in school, both in the creches, until at least a certain age, they become 18. to buy programs, working with the Department of Sports and Recreation, to work with the Department of Education, to work with the Department of Health, to ensure some of these things that are not there are there, where their resources are, to ensure at least that children at school a day, they get one or two meals, because the money is there. Never been any question that there is no money. The resources are there, but they are wrongly abused. Yeah, the money goes somewhere else. That is why I personally have been saying for the last 7 years, in some of these issues, there is no news whatsoever on depending, basically, on these tenders. Why not depend on the communities themselves? That each and every school board make sure that the money that is there for food, for nutrition, is used, and you employ the same women in the same village to do the cooking there, rather than to, if you are in rural Natal, you put it there and other things. Somebody comes from Devon and take the money and make it, and send bread, loaf of bread, for children to eat only once a week.
On Monday for the whole week.
For the whole week.
By the end of the week,
there's
bread has gone through.
That is what is happening. That bread could have been baked in the village there. The women could have made some business for themselves. And it's quite there. I mean, even the people, if they are encouraged to plow their gardens, they could be able to provide the food for that village. And the mothers to volunteer or even to get something out of it to cook for the children and to clean the school, rather than all these other things that happen. I think some of these things are not being said, and I think we have to go together with the committee to look at whether these things in the most rural parts of South Africa, like Limpopo and Mpumalanga and Northwest, where we have not been. But where we have been, we suffer in the last three provinces, that is Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Free State, the situation is pathetic. Really pathetic. And we can't say we're working for our people when we don't know what happens to that money. We should be able to make sure that the money that is given out by the Department of Education is used for the benefit of the children, rather than people envision for themselves. Yeah, then the second last issue would be the question of strategies to prevent poverty, amongst others, with older persons. In this area of work, the focus will be first of the equalization of the pension age between men and women. This will require changes of the Social Assistance Amendment Bill, introduction of a mandatory retirement scheme with the associated scheme for risk benefits, such as disability and survivor's benefits, using the social assistance grant to improve access to economic opportunities and other services for families and households. Yeah. As I said before, the increase of that age will necessarily demand that we have to amend the social assistance so that it should accommodate that. And that is why I find it a little bit difficult to make this a top priority when we have not met the priority of children. I have a problem with that. The introduction of a mandatory retirement scheme with the associated scheme for risk benefits such as disability and survivor benefits. I think this is the amount of work that has been going on for the last 6-7 months within the Department of the Treasury, and I think it might be necessary, Mr. Chair, that the team that has been doing that from the Department of Social Development should come and brief you on how far we have gone, because we are talking about this with the private sector and with union on this issue as a government. So I think the portfolio committee and parliament should also be briefed. You can talk to His Majesty the President. We will be able to send the people to come and brief the portfolio committee in the coming week. And also, the question using of social assistance grants to improve access to economic opportunities and other sectors for families and households. I think this has been going for more than a year. With Luca and Mrs. Ntapo will take you to those areas where they have been working in the Eastern Cape. You go and see people struggling with poverty. And some of the, since this year is ending, you go and see some of the schools we've been talking about, especially with Deutsch. Not Deutsch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can tell you that I think at least one or two of them have come to already. On the fifth one, that is civil society support and strengthen communities. In this area, we mean the development of a framework for holistic community development. This will assist in defining what the department and government community development approach should be. Targeted strengthening of civil society capacity through grant funding through the NDA and also improving our implementation of the non-profit organization. Let's see the finalization of a pilot project to link beneficiaries of social grants to sustainable livelihoods. So, in other words, we personally, I believe, without the support of the civil society, would never have been able to achieve what we have achieved. But of course, in the same question that rises, with all that enthusiasm that they have, they don't have the necessary funding. They don't have the money. And I think it is timely that we should raise this issue more than we used to raise. Because if we didn't have civil society, and we talk today about 30 million children that have been registered to get grants, we would never have been here. It is mostly non-governmental organizations and the faith-based organizations that have been really able to assist us to get what we want. It is them also that assist us basically in finding out who these people that are defrauding government on grants. They are the ones who come forward and say, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one. And then we go and tell the SIU, and then they follow up and they arrest all these people. So I think we should be able to do this thing. We should work with them, value the work that they are doing with us. Because all those billions that we have been able to receive, to take back, and the people that we have been able to punish, it is mostly a type of work that we do. And as we move away from that, from the grants, we ensure this social fund and the whole age grant, but we also go to the special pension that is there, which we have to do because it has been defrauded by quite a big number of people, I think. We will depend if it's on the pension. Because the political parties, I doubt if they will be able to do some of those things. Yeah, the other thing that we do is the governance and institutional development. This team involves activities to improve service delivery capacities and accountability throughout the national and provincial departments, SASA and the NDA. It also includes initiatives to develop the sector's human resource and system to improve service delivery. The following are the key projects included under this team. The amendment of the SASA Act to facilitate the establishment of a board. Secondly, amendment to the NDA Act to increase its board size and to clarify the policy role of the NDA. the implementation of the human resource development strategy for the national and provincial development, the amendment, the establishment of an appeals board, changing the function of the HSD and MINMEC to facilitate better accountability with respect to agreed service delivery projects. That last one means quite obviously that when we meet as a MINMEC, we should take on precision that we expect the provinces to come back and to account basically how far they have gone in order to ensure that this issue has, the decision has been carried out. On the question of the establishment of an appeal board, I think we want to do that as fast as possible. Because at the present moment, that question of appeals leaves much to be desired. The implementation of the human resource development strategy for the national and provincial service is something that we ought to have done long time ago. On the question of the NDA Act, we find that we need more people in the NDA who have got skills, better skills, who know exactly what they are doing. And we find that sometimes we do not have that. The amendment of SASA Act to facilitate the establishment of a board, it is something that we had muted a long time ago. But it took a long time to discuss that whether it was necessary or not. Because our colleague in the Treasury didn't think it was necessary. So we moved faster so that we set up SASA. And it has become very, very clear now that we do need that. We do need SASA. We do need that we should be able to have some body that looks specifically on a full-time basis on the work that SASA is doing. On the last one, regional and international solidarity and engagement, our three priorities in this area will be post-conflict reconstruction and development work in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. While we have not located work on the anti-apartheid strategy in any one team, work in all these teams will contribute to the further development of an anti-power strategy. The department will continue to be part of the social cluster team that works with the team for economic cluster to finalize work on the strategy. The department, together with the Department of Provincial and Local Government, will establish an anti-poverty war that will seek to develop and track programs geared at reducing poverty. On the question on this issue of the international work, you know where we have a lot of the president has been traveling around and making agreements with quite a number of countries. But we have been stuck with the work that we've got to be doing, especially in Africa. I have a team that ought to have been here. I think, I'm not sure, more than 8 or 9 African countries have come to our department to look at the type of work that they ought to be doing in their country. We are helping them to set up Department of Social Development in their country, because since 1960 that has never happened. You don't have to be a master in order to understand that the elite that took over the state was not very much concerned with the poorest of the poor. And the work that is being done by the government at the present moment is a reaction that comes out basically from the grassroots in this African country, wanting to know what is being done. What is being done for the poorest of the poor in their country. Especially those that are here in their country. They tell these things that live here in South Africa. That there has been no special focus in the majority of the countries of Africa, and I think of an extension on the issues of the poor. So there is a lot of pressure that is there on our people, on our department to be part and parcel of the work we reluctantly have to do it. And as I said, all this we have been hosting, I think about more than 10 countries, and spend time in our department to see how the department works on issues that affect the poor, especially on children, the elderly, and the issues of anti-poverty policies that the government has taken. We're unable to fulfill that because most of them, we don't have the necessary staff. It is only now that we've asked the province to be part of the Council of Staff that we've been able to maintain the team that is in the Congo. And we've been able, but then we hope to send people also to Sudan, especially part of Sudan, Burundi and Rwanda, and all those other countries that have been here, that have come in Africa that we're dealing with. And it might be useful. It might be useful. I know it's something that the Parliament has not looked at. For Parliament, for the Portfolio Committee, to try and visit and to see the state of affairs in this country, not to end up in the capital, but also to go to other states to see the work that not only has the department, but other departments, especially in the Congo, CPSA and all of them, CPI and all of what they are doing. So that basically South Africans should appreciate the pressure that this government is under. Of course, in doing so, of course, the question of the social assistance has attracted quite a big number of countries, including the EU countries, including Latin America and the United States. We are unable to go to all these places. But basically, we have to explain how have we been able to provide more than 12 million people with funds. And where does the money come from? And I think, as far as the UN is concerned and the EU, they have taken us as a model country in which they could be able to cooperate and to work very closely. In fact, since we have been doing that, I can say very clearly, they have helped Malawi, Zambia, and all the other countries to be able to provide, their aid. Not in the big grants that they used to give, but to ensure that the forest of the it goes straight to the people, especially people that are affected and infected by HIV. And that is the type of work that the EU has decided to do now, and of course the United States and all the others are doing the same in Canada. But more, it's the same, we're cooperating also with Latin America, specifically Brazil, Mexico. Cuba is not social plan. They've got a bigger thing that they've got. And quite a number of them. And unfortunately they've been here many times. They've read here in Cape Town. And we've never seen any member of parliament participating in those comparison workshops that we have had. You must wake up. You must wake up. Yeah, no, they've been here. We've made had about 3 or 4 workshops here in Cape Town with President. That was Brazil, not Venezuela. Argentina, and all of them.
We got one of the invitations, and I think a few of us did attend at the Lord House last year.
Yeah, sure.
I think we'll find a way to get more.
Yeah, in fact, what we need to do, we've talked to the DG long time ago in Portugal. In fact, some of them were organized not only by us, because we also worked with the University of Pretoria to be able to do that type of work. What we need to do in the next 2 weeks, basically, and certainly, is to ensure that work is distributed in Parliament more than any other thing. And of course, we've been working with UNESCO basically on some of these issues. And we're exchanging with many other UN agencies in different countries on how we do this type of work, which has never been done by any developing country. India also beginning to think about that with their billions of people. The Chinese, we've been working with them for the last 3 years. There were two or three ministers who have come here to do this type of work, study how do we do that. And the Russians also have the same question. And as a department, we are very active, in fact, if not leading, in the work of the International Social Security Agency, Association of Agencies, which meets in Geneva once or twice a year. So this is the type of the thing that we do, but mostly we would like to concentrate basically on Africa. We have working relationships with UNESCO dealing on the issue of social policy. I know in South Africa it is not a very big thing, but it is a very big thing in Europe and the Americas. In the last 2 weeks, I think last 3 weeks ago, we opened a conference at Fort Hare, which is aimed at training people on social policy, which would be to a certain extent be collaborating with the University of Oxford on this. We have sent all the MECs for a course on social policy to Oxford. I think it was a 3 week course, and they all appreciated that. I think it's something that is worth doing. Parliament has a lot of money to return the tax, and I think it can send you. If we can't organize it here, Parliament, we can help you to organize it, at least on social policy, somewhere here in Cape Town. The University of Oxford and the University of Fort Hare would be very pleased. If, Mr. Chair, you want, we could set, when I leave here, organize it. As long as you pay. As long as you pay. Thank you.
Now, thank you very much, Minister. But perhaps I should rather ask a veteran of the committee to express the committee's gratitude, not only for making the time, but for the extensive coverage. Of your input. I don't know if Mr. Rick would want to.
Before I say, thank you very much for the honor. Before I express appreciation for the minister's presence here this morning, I'd like to express my concerns about provinces. I speak about the province I come from, where money is channeled towards the hair instead of I'm speaking in common. There is a very, what shall I say, rich man who seems to get all these tenders from education, from social development, and the recent approach to school nutrition changed drastically because the providers had to provide stones, pots, and all the utensils that go towards making food. Indeed, locals were asked to cook. But the 80% of the tenders went to this man who'd been arriving at a place on Sunday afternoon, delivering bread for the whole week, and then going about his business as though nothing had happened. Now the fact that he literally had to buy stuff out of his pocket to see that cooking goes on, he was not able to do it. And I'm afraid nothing was done. He just went on happy, not delivering, but receiving what he ought to receive if he was delivering. So those things are a great concern. The people who have a passion for community work are not given the opportunity. Money speaks. The richer you are, the more favors you receive from the people in the various departments. And I'm very unhappy about this. I know I only speak out of turn, but I feel very angry. The children in the rural area suffer. The rich man drives around in posh cars. It's immoral to allow a situation like that to happen. And perhaps your department must do a bit of investigation to find out exactly whether the food does reach rural areas. I'm going to do it myself this year. And if you like, I'll starting from now, go around these schools and check. I'll ask for your protection. I know I'll get a lot of flavor. For the sake of humanity, the service to humanity, it needs to be done, and somebody must take his or her head out, put it on a block, and do what is right.
That's right.
That's right. And on that note, I'd like, on the 390
No, no, wait. The whole exercise is an interaction with it. That's the whole thing. So this is just to thank the minister. From there we get into an interaction.
Mr. Minister, thank you very much for your presence here this afternoon. And some of us have lived long enough to read between a genuine concern and just political rhetoric. What comes out very clearly is your commitment to make a difference in the lives of the poor. Perhaps I have a background of you and your late friend who, while in exile, wrote your book on social development after apartheid, an ex-student of mine, so you could easily have been my student too. I know you too went into economics after apartheid, which is the other one. Social development, economics, I forget the book.
That's
agriculture. So you see, I have this background for my students about their concerns. And here we are talking to a man who won in exile, prepared for this era of democracy in this country. He's totally committed to making a difference. And we do hope you'll be dropped on board and not changed to some silly department. To the other department. What is important is your department, because it deals with the plight of human beings. And their welfare is our business. And this government of the people, which purports to be a government of the people, for the people, by the people, first part of course should be social development. Once our people are fed, we don't say they must be rich. Once they are cared for, once they have roof over their heads and they are fed, half the battle is won. And this is where government should start. And one can only keep a fingers crossed that you are returned to this portfolio for the next 5 years.
Wow.
There will be a difference. It's no use putting anybody. People who in this department must have a passion for the ordinary people. You know, when you're 60, you speak the truth. But when you're 70, even more so. Now, I'm over 70, so I speak the truth. And Minister, you should be an example to your members of your department. Salsa, the whole lot of them. That you are not here because of the prestige of the position in which you find yourself, being a CEO, XYZ, you name it. You are here because your primary obligation is to make a difference in the lives of the people in our country. So, Mr. Minister, all I can say when it comes to welfare, I can speak until tomorrow morning, but I'd like to say to you, we appreciate the effort that you put in. In the beginning, lots of people didn't understand. They thought you were wasting money. But I hope they are beginning to enjoy the fruit of your hard work over the period that you've been minister in this department. You can only hope we will be fortunate enough to continue enjoying your leadership, which is pivotal in this country, the welfare of our people. Once again, on behalf of our committee, Nagomso. How do you say it? Nagomso. Nagomso. You see, I'm a Mutana from the city. Mutana, we say, Kosiarun, Nagomso.
Nagomso.
Thank you very much.
You may wonder why bring forward the whole stand instead of leaving it right at the end. And one of the reasons is that we're going to be stretched out for time, because as you are well aware, at 12, there is a special treatment in memory of the late Comrade Gomong. So come up at 11 or thereabouts, we may have to round up so that we have sufficient time to walk over to Parliament. But I am told from reliable sources that lunch has already been organized for us here in the chair. Obviously, you know that the fact that we couldn't secure a venue in Parliament also means that there isn't even a venue to have lunch there. So, unfortunately, we would have to walk back to come and have lunch here after the sitting, the special sitting, before we go back to Parliament for the debate. So, there's quite a bit of washing that, unfortunately, is ahead of us. Alright, on that note, there's very limited time. We're going to, however, take a small chunk, three people at a time, and we don't even have time to introduce everybody to everybody. The officials can just introduce themselves whenever they chip in to respond to some of the issues. Members, this is your opportunity to interact with the minister. Let me take Honorable Bokofane Zulu. The Whip, Comrade Morodi, and Ms. Campbell. I'll take those three men, ladies first, and then we will see how we start. Okay, Honorable Kapandi.
Thank you very much, Chair, and for your thank you, Minister, for the opportunity. I regret my wrong comments, and I don't know how to say it. Just one way that I really understand the presence of the you know, I think I finally accepted the fact that my history is really a good alive. So I'm really interested that I think the program for people will end up in my own that long after I've left social development. And how I do with that is something as we move together I don't know, I'm looking forward to one day having a department or staff or public servant that says of me. Because the only part will minister into very important role. It's so frustrating, so exhausting that you ask yourself, but why is this officer? Because a face has problems. Then any big problem that you can see that it takes one phone call to solve. I'm telling you, it takes an arm and a leg. So I ask myself all the time that for this department or for this supporting agency to get to resolve in some of these things, what kind of agenda must be sitting on the list? So what those that are committed, that yes, I must say, I mean, I started my work on the 2nd of January, I was ready and enough to choose for the whole year. And I must say, at all times, I did not get the same response and excitement. But the second point is, as we amend the SAFA legislation 3 years ago, and I was not part of the SAFA Expo, but I think there are barriers within the SAFA Act itself creates a lot of barriers. In trying to respond to the challenges that we have, I mean, just yesterday, I was dreaming of something that the SAFA also did to show their life. And part of the fight was a very tiny, windy little thing that somebody did, and because of time, it was. But this happens every time. And every time I go back to my office, I think that I'm talking. I just feel like them, but the truth is, to a point, there is no way, or they were never supposed to be created. They implement quality stories, but like robots. You know, if you told, this is how this is going to be. Even when you see, like, you know, like here, this is the policy, can't ever happen, whatever is going to happen. This is the policy. And that goes to even senior management. When you see that, look, just one phone call would solve this problem. There's no, it doesn't rock even the bank. No. As far as here, this is how we're going to do, this is what the policy is. We need to find a way of doing it, because for me, in social development, it's the biggest question that I have.
Right, thank you for that input. Mamrul.
Thank you, Mr. President. Honourable Minister, I'm looking at the life of the child after 18 years. These two brothers really because there is no consideration of the child after 18 years. As to the children in the future, in the womb, you see, when it has there, while the social workers are busy trying to reconcile the children with their family members before age 18, immediately the child reaches 18, the social development goes to the three children, girls and house parents, but the child over 18, she or he must not be protected. And when this child is the shelter, the child will get to the street. And then going to be a thug. Going to be an adult and going to be a thug. But there is no preparation for them. They're going to be a person without being responsible for family members. Where is it going from there? So we'll always tell them all this. We'll measure out now. You can really tell for yourself. How does this fit in other than the daughter? I'm not a kid. So it's a problem. That's what they should tell you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Officer, to raise that discussion. Thank you, Chair. I think first on the issue, you talked about children being raised in their own
And then also, few registries at the time of the EU. What is the cost and cost and time that registration takes? So if I'm involved in the EU, and this would be very automatic now, and I'm registration.
Registration of the organization.
Of the
time.
I've been told last location January here. Now what's happening? No problem. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yes. 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 Yes.
Those particular parcels that we talked to, and I just want to use that parcel to make these additional parcels. Well, now I think we can take two more hands. No, let me answer this. All right. I didn't get exactly what Opponent wanted. Is that comment?
Yes.
It's a general comment. Sure. Nairobi, are children over 18. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The issue of children, we are fighting at 16 now. It's a big battle. Very big battle. I don't want to say public. From 6 up to 18, we still are part and parcel of that. But at that age, I have a completely different view. First of all, when a child is 18, he ought to go and work. Ought to go and work or stay in school. I come from a very poor family. They sacrificed for me until I got my degree. I mean, 18. And then they said, no, you go and work now. I said, no, but all the other 50 children are going to school. And in the end, I had to stay until I was 18 in the school, past my career. When I got over, they said, no, we can't do it, do your own thing. We are not going to do it. In other words, the question of child of 18, right through the world, should be a man or a woman. He should be able to go and work for himself. In fact, you take up arms. Join the Navy, the four Air Force, whatever it is, and go to war in many countries at the age of 18. In fact, even 16 in many other countries. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what we ought to do is not to, we should prepare children that they are schooling. When they leave school, they should be able to go and work. If you live among Germans, the Swiss, and the Swiss, all these German-speaking countries, including France, each and every child, even at school, they are taught so that they should leave school at the time when they've got a skill, not only you get my point. They have a skill. When he or she leaves there, he will be going back to fashion to perfect, to be a plumber, perfect, to be a driver, mechanic, whatever, an electrician or something like that. And if you've got special knowledge, special intelligence, they encourage him to go to university. And that is what we are not doing. That is what we are not doing in South Africa. For instance, if you look, let me tell you the truth, madam. The issue at the present moment, you see this DIT here, that are fighting this VIP. Those that are Africans, majority of them, they have another skill. They are either electrician, mechanic, or something like that. Because apartheid regime brought them up in that manner. We have not been able to be brought up, and we are bringing up our children like that. We are a little bit shy to tell him to get to work like being an electrician or something like that. Everybody wants to go to university. We can't afford that. Not possible. We don't have the money. Even the United States doesn't do that. They don't do that.
But with us, we have a type of education which we inherited from colonialism and into apartheid, and we want each and everybody to get them a gown. And then you get that gown, you don't get a job afterwards. How many young graduates do we have here outside here? Well, finished to put universities and all this, they can't get jobs because they chose the wrong profession. They were not advised, basically. And this is the problem we have in our education. And in the end, we will end up where we are if we don't go back to our children and tell them this is not the right type of our education that we're offering you. You cannot all of you be sitting in the office and writing, and then you think that you're going to be toy in here. You're going to get no job. It's not going to work out like that. So if we don't tell them, if our educational system doesn't do that, I know, most probably because I studied in Germany, I know basically this thing was not there. We said that 1994, 93, 92, we had in the ANC special educational system. We talked to the Germans, we talked to the Swiss, we talked to the, all of them were prepared, they have been here, that they would be prepared to contribute. But unfortunately, the thinking that has been there in South Africa, on the question of education, you must all have a degree. Once you have the degree, you're not sure that you're going to get a job. And that's the problem we have. In other words, we should prepare our children to be able to stand alone and be able to go to work and work and end their living with dignity. The dignity of work, of labor, should be brought back to us. At the same time, we are spending a lot of money and they are failing because some of them do not have the aptitude to do that. And you can't, over 3 years or 4 years, just put that into their mind. So, I understand there's something that is moving. But for me, I'm not satisfied. Because I go over there, right through the country, and you see young, educated young men who are sitting there, young men and women, who end up in the dustbin of history. But they can't work. It's not that they can't work. They don't want it, but they don't have the skills to do anything.
I think even the district campaign
about
the education department is pushing. The big question is to what extent.
So what are
we for higher skills?
Just writing that we won't be able to do that. Without skills, you're not going to be able to do that. And it has been proved beyond any reasonable doubt. Look at Ethiopia, what they did. They took thousands, millions of young people. They educated, I mean, they sent through this literacy. And all of them can read and write, then afterwards, what? The end, it ended up with Mengistu being overthrown.
Perhaps this issue is going to come up again when we talk about intersectoral collaboration. Because one of the thrusts of because one of the thrusts of our I come from the strategic planning workshop to represent the committee that is of the department. And one of the emphatic areas was the whole issue of intersectoral collaboration. To say that at social development, we must begin to see ourselves as actors. We can't confine ourselves to looking at what does social development do on, but we have to stick our nose into what education does, what labor does, to begin to provoke some of this discussion. Because we are the anchor point. We are the glue that holds society together. When these other systems are not working, and these people are poor or homeless or hungry, they ultimately come back to us. So if we ignore and say, no, health is not our first base, even if they are they beat us up over the 12-year-olds in condoms, saying that that's their house. So, but we have to stick our noses everywhere. Because that's what social development is about. But let me allow the minister to finish.
I understand that is what the president said. That we will try to... I think I started that whole thing from before when I spoke about it. Look, the issue is quite clear. A child is a child until he or she is 18. And there is no way that you can change it, as far as I'm concerned. We said we will try to move to ensure that the age of the CSG is phased in a manner that will not be a burden to the treasury. I hope so that it will happen. It won't all happen at the same time, but it will be phased in gradually until we reach the age of 18. Otherwise, we've got cases already whereby I wouldn't advise government personnel to be ordered around by the judiciary to do things that it ought to be doing. It wouldn't be morally right. What I would say, we should be seen to be progressively introducing all these other things that we're talking about. Otherwise, we have no obligation whatsoever of even thinking basically over above 60 men. Men who are over 60, because we have no obligation whatsoever. We still have to go through that process. We've got to go through Parliament again, redo that, amend the act. But the children have to be answered next month. Next month. Yeah. The children have to answer this month, and I think children can be left like that. It's more than that. That's my personal view. Yeah. Terribly very sad.
In fact, Minister, the tactic we used when we drafted the act back then was to make the increasing of the age not to be done through an amendment to the act,
yeah,
but through the regulation.
Yeah.
So that you don't have this opening up of the parliamentary process and public hearings and all of those to increase the age. Right?
So we need to do that.
Yeah.
Urgently and all these other things. And I think we're writing to press today to ensure that it does happen. Otherwise, we will be in trouble. I believe so, personally. These 6 year olds are not a priority.
I couldn't agree.
We have looked into that. But we would depend mostly on what the health department says. We have not planned for it now, but we know, but our research has shown very, very clearly that the brain of a child depends on the type of nutrition he or she gets at that age and upwards. And that is an issue that ought to be in the mouth, basically, of all South Africans, especially the women and the women's league. You are not just doing those things. If you raise those issues that affect people, affect children, when you go on the issues like that, that would be much better. The quality basically would be much better for politics of South Africa.
I think what we're going to do is to also allow the senior officials who are here to interact with us. If there are any specific issues you want to pick on. We haven't come to the next round. Or is it a follow-up?
I thought when you come to your contribute to my concert, the minister suppressed me.
The way I'm doing it is that we took the first round, the minister responded, and then I'm allowing any officials if they have anything to add, all right?
Yes.
And then we will take the next round of comments from and questions from them. So you will be the first on that one. And then you'll come.
Before we go on to, perhaps I missed it, but Mrs. Temple asked a question about the registration and the...
Oh yes, it
is. Right.
If something that
but
is done with
the officials,
they will answer more. We something that we are aware of, because all these are mostly. You want to answer?
Yeah. All right. But I had this VL.
Yeah.
All right. Before you proceed with that, can we request the DDG to compare notes outside of this meeting with our sample, so that if this is essentially a bureaucratic hiccup that's preventing this from happening, you know, that can be sorted out. Because we've had a similar situation with Astridville. I think this in part relates to the questions from Mark Bokopane about, you know, I mean, he still prime minister. So I think that the approach that was taken as a committee is that if a member brings up an issue relating to service delivery, we don't deal with it academically yet. We make specific follow-up with the department with a change of correspondence immediately after the meeting. So we'll adopt the same approach. But you can proceed with it.
But all of us mentioned that one of those professional sites, one of those areas where there is a need for collaboration in the events and then because for example care for the responsibility in terms of health and safety, the local government has got a responsibility in terms of the product and so forth, the professional government has got a responsibility. So that is a combination of
but from our point of view as social development, we still expect our department to facilitate all those processes with the other departments, so that the bottom line is that the thing is registered as a CDO. All right. Is there any other okay, we can come back to this issue. Is there any other comments that you want to make or any other colleagues?
there is an issue within the culture of Transylvania, which is a major education of students from there until 1 year. And despite having the concerted effort that the minister has set up to embark on the education campaign, we find that that student has been exist. We have looked at some possible impediments and need the community to assist either administrative issues that government has got. But the minister raised an important issue to us that they might be comfortable with that. That is that women and women with that issue. And they said issue that they were fully committed to their own policy. We want to ask them whether those are issues and how we can inform the role that if they encourage them.
Okay, any other official with the burning issue before we get to the next one?
Not necessarily a burning issue there, but we call the question on the identification and coverage of our problems. Now the process of identifying indigenous households has already been taking place the local government for years now is also providing basic services. What's going to happen beyond that, and as I get private, is a process like state by social development is not only geographically identifying for households, but identifying the household, the child, the people in the household, and the ability to maintain themselves. In the Eastern Cape, this has been running for a while as a pilot in the Northwest as well, the three states, and how came. In this case, households were from the detailed station with a view to their data target to the ranking of
government. Can I just quickly intervene and say that one of the items that we're looking at during the budgetary hearing process is to go to provinces and sit with each province and look at this problem around capacity, around the inadequate funding, and them not being able to secure, you know, the funding that is allocated to them as a nationally agreed allocation, with the result that we end up with provinces who are supposed to implement all of this, not having the people, the money, or even the know-how, and possibly not even working as closely with NGOs and CDOs to be able to implement. So I've raised this with Mr. Doyle, and I said to him, our budget will not allow us to do this, but we hope that some miracle will be performed to make the budget, to make it possible for us to do this. So he has said, we should come forward with a proposal. We try to be as innovative as possible in responding to our challenge at the forum. But we'll talk about this issue further on. I'm going to take the next round. I had from the almost a
second.
Okay, first and then
Magu.
All right. Okay. Oh, and then.
Can you make the entire try to have this? What is our community? Ah, it's our
Free to go to school, free. You are now facing after 3 years with us, after what year we just received, we are going to see a very big challenge ahead of this year. So get your best of it. I think those are the people that must be very positive, programs that you get to see this one. The most important thing that I was concerned was that I wanted to have people if they are not getting those. You see, you know, I want to just ask for the promoting TV a thing. We are being ashamed of saying this new government just catches up one side and beats the other side. It just, you know, brushes here and beats us here and that's all we care. Why I say that happening is because they are women. And if you go to this house, they are implemented fully. But go to me. Okay, that's to some people. Baba, let me explain when we explain as to how things are going in us from the deep rural areas. Because there are rural areas that are near to town. But here, I think the deep one, where you find that town after 65 kilometers. And that I think we can. Now, this seems like all this advancement to the second intervention, like let's say, professional people, the nurses, the police, the work, after retirement, they are crying for this old age and because they say, people, we have waited for this one. I am a now, here's this one. This is meant for certain people, they are us. But we are just not understand. Now, when such a person goes to dentist, it doesn't come once in the minister. They come in lots of five and they take another dentist. Okay. I'm thinking that the US is very happy
to be. Where are you now? Which area is that? Which problem?
I'm
taking
this one of the settlements that I put in another team. Yeah. No one said where they are. Our people are not waiting for the nation, they are waiting for who are you? Where you come? That's the main point. They say, no, that's not even what I like, but they're taking the main point, so why can't I get it? They all say, why can't I get it? Now, this is really a summary explanation, that's why I'm saying, today, the meeting, since you can give one, that when you speak to somebody, you speak of something that took from the hospital mouth. That's what you need to listen to the radio. That's what you need to see on TV. Because media sometimes they have that. Now the last one here will be the patient for some Obama. Because the United States is not going to have to. Matala. After that, I was getting into the White House party in Denmark.
Some people argue too.
The last one for this round is somebody demanding.
Thank you. I was just taking my time to say that you said we don't have enough time,
yes.
And it's almost 10-15 minutes left of time.
Yeah.
I would perhaps just note some of the issues that I would perhaps with the view that we're still going to start plan with the department in April, but also that that's part of the portfolio committee's work to unpack even further the issues, but to highlight those that
that
the minister has highlighted, one of which is I heard the minister he mentioned the SIU that we might want to get an indication check in terms of, I'm sure the hotel will make some details in terms of, are we completing those, the work of the past and now started to work on new cases in the past? Because you remember the cases in KZN of the fraud in KZN that were on the media recently, I think end of last year, which are regarded as sort of new in terms of the trend. So to look at that, it would also be the light of this new look on the security in general, in terms of the security services, putting them together, strengthening them to deal with crime, to look at if there's going to be an emphasis as well in that regard. And then second,
can I just interject and say we want to stop the fee, so people individually feel free to wrap a card.
Yeah. And then part of the I think we need to take up the call that Mr. McEwan is raising, but also say it's a difficult one because it's to do with, for instance, I work in a rural constituency of Mbeni, next to Underbeken House. Part of the cases that we're dealing with is, now that there's a grant, the men want to own up also, and there's a fight between families and people using the culture in terms of ownership of the child. If I pay damage, then I have a bigger say in the child, even if we don't marry. And so that delays is also when families are fighting over issues of the final ownership of the child. And obviously men are also questioning this issue of the child registered in another person's name. They even say, that the child cannot be registered in a mother's name because it's my child, it's in command. So it can't be a matucha, So those are the questions that we have to deal with in a particular way as such. So they would affect the manner or the speed in which we register or those people get registered. The other thing, Chair, is relating to the point on the point on the community development, the NGO strengthening the capacity of the NGO. Chair, the veteran is talking about when you overstep to talk the truth. I think at our age, we're using the term brutally frank. This is the youngish middle. We are brutally frank. The NGA is not doing justice, and we've been battling, and I know the minister has been battling. He tried to reduce the body to things more to help him do the work, and I'm not going to say it, but what I'm just raising that based in this content, the NGA not even perfecting the so-called poverty pocket. If you compare the work that they do there, it gives a lot to be desired. So I'm saying, Chair, I think we really have to pay attention if we are, conscientious of our responsibility to deal with poverty. Our anti-poverty, it hasn't done, in my own assessment, and so my other head of NGOs, I know how the NGOs are feeling about the NGOs. I think either it's in the administration of the NGO, not in the board, but I think we need to pay attention to the administration of the board.
Can I just indicate that in responding to questions, I expect only the minister to say, this is what needs to be done. From the official, I only expect an answer that says, this is what we are going to do. No theory about how the system works, about we are going to do 1, 2, 3, 4.
Alright, just one point, sir. I'm also concerned about the we've been raising the Meta Minister with the official quite a while and very consistent about the Kimoja and Marcus has forgotten it today and Gong is not here to raise. They've been leading this thing about the Kimoja. I know now there's a new talk of some other project again, which has got to,
we scheduled an interaction with the destiny, I think we are going to at some point when we begin to deal with the customer, going to zoom into all those programs again, particularly and all the time.
The point to say, Chair, that when we talk social cohesion, we need to alongside with our intervention on this drug and substance abuse, I think we need to take pay attention to the role of parents. I know the minister has been trying to every year to be working on the building the family values or building the family and all of that. And I think we must make sure that we pay attention, you know, as we do this thing. And that in the social cohesion, it's not just simply for young people, but also to strengthen the parents, because I think they are under siege in one way or other, or the children are faster, or the young people are faster than the parents. The dynamics of today have enabled them to surpass the capacity of parents to engage their own children. Thank you.
Let me just indicate, we cannot really do justice to any of these issues in the context of this. We're going to have dedicated interactions that will then zoom in a very elaborate and direct way to some of these. But Minister,
Thank you for the Minister's response. I want to add something to what Mazumode has said. I speak under correction. Some of these homeland pensioners, like the teachers, for instance, get their pension is not, there's an unequal payout of pension. Those from the homeland get lesser amounts than we who are fortunate to stay.
But there we have the head of SASA, he'll respond after the minister. Alright. Okay, Minister.
Somebody raised a question from Masuka.
Yeah,
quite obviously, this is an issue that has been worrying the whole of the country. And when we talk about. We wondered when you talk about early childhood development and all those other issues on the youth, we are meant to be able to deal with those things. When you talk about this early childhood development, also you must also be aware that not all the people that open up these questions are qualified. One of the things that we ought to be doing is to ensure that they get the necessary training right through, and in doing so, who will be providing jobs, basically, to quite a number of things, especially younger children. These matriculants that fall on the way, the only problem. We hope that the department will come up, and the Department of Education, with a plan to ensure that they are really trained and skilled in those issues. On the question of nurseries, pension, and all these other things, it's quite a very typical issue in the effect that the main test, we're just talking about the main test now. There's a big noise about that the mean term should be equal to it. And not that people in the rural areas are getting more than those that are in the urban area. I have a problem personally because people in the rural areas are really struggling. It is expensive to get pointers, as the lady was just saying here, to go and get an ID in the city from 200 miles away in order to come to the city. Whereas, yes, in Cape Town, you move there, the office is somewhere there. You can get that. There's hardly any water around there, but clean water. There's no electricity. So the minister should be, as far as I'm concerned, should affirmative action towards the people that come, the poor that come from the rural areas. This issue you are raising of people getting or not getting pension, others are not getting, it's a very big thing. I would say I went to the in January to, I've been approached actually, I probably don't like moving out at the present moment to the rural area and even to the location. Because majority, whenever I come there, thousands of people want me to answer their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I might not even know. Because all those issues are mostly dealt with by the province. Mm-hmm. And in fact, for me, it would have been better if they were dealt by the local government. More than any. That's one of the things that I hope the portfolio committee should deal with, involving local government in the work of social reform. Should not only be ending at issue and then people in the past, I don't know. Like, must try to find ways in which we can be able to. People are demanding this pension. Why is so and so getting and I'm not getting? And it's become very, very difficult. But as I said, we wanted to release a study that has been made by the department. On the minister. We felt that we should not steal the wind of Trevor when he's going to announce the budget. We'll be able to announce it as soon as possible. Make it like a public. Because there are suggestions there that we should remove the minister. And if we do that, will we have enough money to be able to accommodate everyone? It will be very good. What we think we should happen personally is to increase the minister.
Pardon?
At the top, yeah. So that it should be. If you get, because this minister, how much is it now in the rural areas? 13?
What is it?
13,900? No, 9,500. Yeah, I mean, we should get this at least double so that people should be able to get. Because inflation has all interfered in all this.
Because the minister is not you, cutting. You have a house,
yeah,
and you are not working. There is no source of income. Then you don't qualify for the pension.
It has never changed since the apartheid regime.
Because you have a house. You don't keep those bricks on the wall. Yes, and how much I suffer because I had the wisdom to build a house for myself.
House for yourself. Those are the
things that have been keeping the light for me.
Those are the things you have to raise there. So those are the things we are looking at the present moment. And, on the question of the NGA, a non-governmental organization, I think when we criticize these people here, really move. There's been a vast improvement, basically, in what they have to do.
and most of them are professional people. And but look at the amount that they get from on their budget. Just that much. You can't in that be able to assist people and also assist the non-governmental organizations to get more money. The money that they get, their budget is very, very little. Very, very little. They can't, for instance, there were some provinces where they don't have offices. They don't have offices. Simply because NDA was formed by capable people, the NGOs themselves. They had this almost in the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, in Gauteng, and I think the Eastern Cape. All the other provinces where there are a lot of Bantu standards, there was no office until there still now. There is no representation whatsoever. And they don't have the money. And those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. Basically, why am I not raising this issue? Because if I raise this issue, it seems as if I'm fighting the pressure. But those are realities. There are no people that are there in those places. Completely no office, nothing. Or even the welfare department itself. I mean, if where there is a police station, there ought to be a welfare office. At least the minimum. In each and every town, in each and every village, especially the commercial. So these are questions that we don't have. These are the issues that we have to fight, the question of infrastructure. At least SASA is beginning to do that. But the department itself is not in that. The budget does not, public works doesn't. And it takes a long time to move public works away. I know my house has been in tatters for years, living from one hotel to the other, and it's not nice. So these are the issues that we have to do. The chair wants us to move. I think other question that we need to do. Let us share to another meeting where we can be able to raise some of those issues. Mama, what are your issues? Of the children and the health. It's very difficult for me to be involved.
I think after the budget speech, obviously we're going to kickstart a process of interrogating the budget, where we're going to look at the system in terms of health and strength. So I think at that point, maybe we should schedule another interaction with the minister. In fact, ideally the minister should kickstart that debate as well, in the same way that he has started. This one around the state of the nation. I think that is the approach, the strength that we probably adopt, so that he can provide leadership. As you heard, the emphasis is going to be, well, the president said it's business as usual. So this is the first step in implementing the president's order. That we're going to do things business as usual. And just you would have heard officials, the rule of the game, of engagement, this time around, is clear. The minister will state what the policy objectives are, what the system intends to achieve. But because your role is to implement that, you're not going to elaborate on what the system intends to achieve. But you are actually going to tell us what you are going to do to give effect to what the system is sent for. Right? And that's going to be how we approach. Now, on that note, I'd like to, our veteran has already expressed a vote of thanks. So, on this note, because time constraints do not allow us, I'm going to thank everybody. Let's all go and attend the memorial special session and come back for life. Officials, I suppose, they are invited
to the lunch.
All right. On that note, we'll be starting to adjust the example. Because
otherwise,
the drop might be taking. All right.
Thank you very much.
I used to think I would come from college.
I'm the best.
The first one.